from the teaching last week, right? Being a loyal friend every day. Glory to God. Being a loyal friend every day. Open your Bible with me to Matthew 28. We started off last week. Let's look at Matthew 28. From verses 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power. That's the word authority. He's given me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go therefore and make disciples of every nation. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Say, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Hallelujah. Mark 16, from verse 15. And he said to them, go therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. Say, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believes not shall be damned. Say, this sign shall follow them that believe. Say, in my name, Mark 16, they will cast out devils. Say, they will speak with new tongues. Say, they will take up serpents. He said, if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall by no means hurt them. Say, they will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. Hallelujah. He said, when the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received unto heaven, and sat down on the right hand of God. And they went forth, and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Luke 24 from verses 45. It says, and he opened he their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Hallelujah. That they might comprehend the scriptures. And then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. Verse 7 says, and that repentance, which is the remission of sins, will be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. John chapter 20. John 20 from verse 20. And Jesus said to them, peace unto you. Revelation 21. That as my Father has sent me, says, so sent I you. Hallelujah. The Father sent me, so sent I you. He says, whosoever that sinneth for you, whosoever sins, ye shall remit. I mean, yeah. As ever said, you shall remit, I remit it. And as ever you have now, ye retain, I retain. Hallelujah. Now we said this will be Jesus' closing remarks within the 40 days. In fact, in Acts of Apostles chapter 1, Luke made us see that Jesus taught for 40 days concerning the kingdom of heaven. Luke, Acts 1 verse 3. He taught them for 40 days concerning the kingdom of God. He said, by many infallible proofs. So that means, when they wrote like this, in fact, in Acts of Apostles 1:8, that's the same instruction will be, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, in Judah, he said, to the uttermost part of the earth. Now, it's the same thing. These are the same similar instructions. Hallelujah. But they will be recorded by the synoptic writers in different shapes or in different form, but yet the same thing. Why Matthew focus on the entry into discipleship? Luke, Mark will say, go preach the gospel. I mean, why Matthew will focus on raising disciples, sorry. Mark and Luke will focus on what? Entering into that discipleship. Hallelujah. It says, how would you enter? It says, by preaching the gospel. Luke will call the gospel preached, the gospel of God's forgiveness of sins. John will answer, when a man believes it, the man is what? Forgiven. Hallelujah. If he doesn't believe, what happens? He's condemned already. John 3 verse 18. He that believes not stand condemned already. I hope you're listening to me. He's condemned already. Mark 16 will say, if he that believes not shall be damned. You see that? John 3 verse 16 says, he will perish. So that means to be born again is to enter into discipleship. So when Matthew says, go raise disciples, it includes the entry and what happens in discipleship. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's look at something. Look at John. So that means when a man gets born again, remember, Mark and Luke say what is preached is the gospel, is the forgiveness of sins, right? Then John will not say his sins are forgiven. So that means the man who receives the gospel, his sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. So that means for a believer doesn't have a sin problem. I say that a whole lot. A believer doesn't have a sin problem. Glory to God. Glory to God doesn't have a sin problem. He's dealt with. And when John says, whosoever sins here with me, that means that is the remission of sin that we saw last week is God's responsibility to forgive sins. Hallelujah. Look at Ezekiel chapter 36. It says, I will sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean from all your sins and from all your idols, like friends to say the Lord. Hallelujah. So it's God that forgives sins. Hallelujah. It's God that forgives sins. Glory, glory, glory. Hope you're following me. We saw that last week, right? It's God that does forgive sins in salvation. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 1:8. We said Isaiah 1:8 is a call to salvation. Isaiah 1:8. You are the God who answers prayer. Isaiah 1:8. Are you there? He says, and the daughter of Zion is left. Sorry. Isaiah 1:18. That's a mistake. Right? He says, come now and let us reason together. So when he says let us reason together, it's a call to salvation. He says, though your sins be as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be as white as wool. Did you see that? Look at Isaiah 43 verse 25. Isaiah 43 verse 25. Isaiah makes us see God that forgives sins. Verse 25, 43. You know what it says? It says, I am he that blotted out thy transgressions for my name's sake, and will not remember thy sins. Did you see that? So it's God that forgives sins. Jeremiah 31, 34. Jeremiah 31, 34. The B part. He said, I will forgive their iniquities and I will remember their sins no more. So God is the one that forgives sins. So when he now says, whosoever sins you forgive are forgiven. That means, in the preaching of the gospel, it is God that is carrying out his task in the earth through the believer. Hallelujah. So what is God's task in the earth? That all men be saved. First Timothy. Right? All men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. That is God's plan for the earth. He tells man in Genesis 1:28. He says, bless them and says, multiply. He told man, he says, bless them and says, multiply, be fruitful. He says, replenish the earth. So that is God's plan. And God's plan will be carried out through man. So we can say man is responsible for how God's plan in the earth is achieved. Hallelujah. So man is responsible for making God's plan come to pass. God will always use the agency of man. Hallelujah. So when we get to Genesis 1, when God said in the beginning God created the heavens in the earth. Now we saw that yesterday. When it says the beginning, means in the new beginning, right? In redemption, right? So in redemption, what do you have? Heaven and earth united. Hallelujah. Heaven and earth is united in Christ. Glory to God. Okay, let's go for that. So we said when Moses says heaven and earth, it is what? Relationship, right? That God is a relational God. Right? Hallelujah. God is a relational God. Who do you say that? Hallelujah. We saw him as a relational God. We saw him as a father. If you look down, Genesis, quickly, turn with me to Genesis. We saw Jacob, right? You didn't see Jacob last week. Come on, you're not replying me. Okay. Genesis 28. Remember we said what God's quest was for a family, right? So the redemption is God's hunger for a family. Hallelujah. So who is God's family? Man. Because it's an angel's God's family. We're going to get to see that tomorrow, you know? Hallelujah. So, but man, right? So in Genesis 2, when God says it's not good for man to be alone, he's not referring to for a man to be without a woman. No, when he says man, then man is Adama. Adam. Humanity. Hallelujah. So Adam is used for humanity. So he says it's not good for humanity to be alone. It's not good for a man to be a bachelor. I hope you're following me. It's not good for a man to be without God. For a man to be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. Watch that word. A helpmeet. Helpmeet there is used for God. Hallelujah. We saw that last week, right? Elysia. God is my helper. That's what it means. So that word Isaiah is used for God. It's never used for a woman. So a woman is not a man's helpmeet. A man's helpmeet is God. Not be afraid of anything. But that showed you when it says not good for man to be alone. So that is what Moses was writing about in Genesis, is God's relationship with man. And we said God will be best described in his relationship with man. Was that what we said? Hallelujah. You will see God best described in his relationship with man. Glory to God. Hope you are following me. So what do we see him as? Okay, before we get there, look at, I have to open to Genesis 28 verse 19, right? Right? Okay, we're going to see this tomorrow. Genesis 28 verse 19. Okay. It is. Before we get to 19, look at verse 11. Or verse 12. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to the heavens. Do you see that? And behold, angels of God ascending and descending on it. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Angels of God ascending and descending on it. Now look at verse 3, 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac, and the land where thou liest, I will give unto thee for a seed. Right? Glory to God. So he had a vision of angels. Glory to God. And what did he call that place in verse 19? He called that place Bethel. Bethel. And when you say that word Bethel, it's a word which is a word you will find as Oikia, right? Family. God's family. Hallelujah. God's family. Now if you look at something, look at who named the place Bethel? Jacob did, right? Okay. Jacob did call the place Bethel. Glory to God. Look at Genesis chapter 20, 31, verse 13. Say, I am the God, this is God speaking, say, I am the God of Bethel. Did you see that? So God is, God, you see, God works as a, permit me to use this word. I will use it because we are here. Hallelujah. God works as a, like a, as a family man. Glory to God. Is that I'm the God of Bethel. That is, I'm the God of my family. Glory to God. I hope you're following me. Pray thou anointed. So God works as a family man. God works in relationship. Right? So last week we saw him as a father. Right? As a father. Jesus will say, in my father's house, in my father's family. Right? There are many mansions there. Glory to God. We saw God as a wonderful husband, right? We saw him as a husband. Glory to God. God acted as a husband. Jeremiah 31, 33. Hallelujah. It says, though I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. So God acted as a husband to the children of Israel. We saw him as a husband. He provided for them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When they were hungry, he fed them. He gave them bread. They called it manna. He gave them ravens, bears, they ate. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Wonderful God, right? Was a father to them. Glory to God. We saw him as a friend to Abraham, right? A friend to Abraham. And as a friend to Abraham, he was loyal to Abraham even in death. We're going to see that. Hallelujah. Even in death. When Abraham died, God was still faithful, loyal to Abraham. Hallelujah. 400 years passed, and he remembered his promise to Abraham, and he kept it. I hope you are following me. That is God. We saw him as a good friend, right? We saw his motherly role, right? His motherly role. Okay. Hallelujah. And we said we are to mirror God in all our relationships, right? We are to mirror God in all our relationships. Look at, Matthew 22. This was where we stopped last week. Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verses 36. Great. Is the Lord the most worthy of our praise? In the city of our God, most holy place. Are you there? Verse 36.
Verse 36 are you there? He said, Master, see, they came to meet the Pharisees. Remember, I showed us who the Pharisees are, right? The Pharisees came to meet him. I want to say yesterday. Pharisees came to meet him and they asked him, you know, when you know what I like reading this place? Is what, how Jesus dealt with them. Amen? How Jesus dealt with them. And when Jesus was not dealing with them, some other said, they started the season and came. And they received their own case. You know, they asked him a question. And Jesus dusted the answer. Glory to God. Sorry, he was not dealing with the Sadducees, sorry, concerning resurrection. So the Pharisees answered, how can you do it? Let's do this thing now. And ask him a question. Jesus dusted their question. When they wanted to read it, I said, come, well, you guys should come back. Come back. He now fell their hands. Hallelujah. I like that. Glory to God. Okay, let's see the question they asked. They said, Master, what is the greatest commandment of the law? You see that? What is the greatest commandment of the law? Heard of that? What is the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus replied them. He says, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That is Deuteronomy. He read Deuteronomy out to them. Hallelujah. He read Deuteronomy out to them. Deuteronomy 6 verse 5. He says, that is the first and the great commandment. That's what is the great commandment. You know, Jesus has ended, but, you know, and I said, and the second is like unto the first. So he gave them the other. He said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Hallelujah. I said, upon these two hands was the law and the prophets. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He said, upon these two hands, the law and the prophets. That is big. Glory to God. Now when he says the first, he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. Now when he uses the word first, you say, but there are 10 commandments now. Huh? let's look at it. Jesus didn't say there are 2 commandments. No, he said this is the first and the greatest one. That word first is the word proton. Proton. So if we can get to the 10 commandments, that will divide the whole 10 commandments to do this. Hallelujah. Look at God. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Now, that is the word, that is, when he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy heart and mind. That is faith in God. Hallelujah. He calls it faith in God, to love the Lord thy God, is to have faith in God. Now, let's get to 10 commandments quickly. Let me just show us that quickly. That's not what I'm looking at today, but let me show you that. Hallelujah. So we can break it. Now, Jesus stand there, something Jesus also said. But let's look at that first. Hallelujah. I've done this for you before, right? Huh? Okay, let's look at it. Hallelujah. Exodus 20. He said, and the Lord spoke this word saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make for thyself a graven image, nor the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, nor on the earth beneath, which is under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God. Visiting the iniquity of the father upon his fourth and third and fourth generation to them that hate me. Say, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keeping my commandments. You see, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, look at from verse 1 to verse 7. It is all faith in God. Love the Lord thy God. Say, if you love the Lord your God, you will not have another eye. You will not worship another idol, right? Hallelujah. Hope you have seen that. Now he said that is the proton, first and great commandment. Now the word first, it doesn't mean it's number one. First means it is the model. Proton is used for model. That is, this is the model. Now said the second is like unto it. Now when you use the word the second, now the word deuteros. Deuteros is not used for number two. Deuteros means that which proceeds from the first. Do you see that? Deuteros means that which came for the first, that which reflects the proton. So the deuteros will reflect the proton. Hallelujah. The second will reflect the first. In other words, you will love your neighbor as yourself. So that means, now if you get the commandment which you have, it says, see that shall neighbor and do other work. Now if you watch what it begins to say, concerning from verses 8, it begins to tell you your relationship with people. Hallelujah. It says you shall not have your neighbor's wife. Cannot steal, should not murder. That is what love your neighbor as yourself. Do you see that? So he says the second is like unto the first. Glory to God. Glory to God. So when he says
Okay, when he said the second is like unto the first, it means that the second, which is the love of neighbors as yourself, will flow from faith in God. Hallelujah. Let's see something. So when he says upon this lies hangs the law and the prophets, what is called law and prophets, please? No? What is called law and prophets? I taught you. Law and prophets. Okay, Luke 24. Everybody rush to Luke 24. Verse 25. Come on. Okay, 25. Oh fools, and slow to believe all that the prophet has spoken. So, ought not the Christ to suffer this thing and to enter into this? Beginning at? And? What is that? No, what is that? Genesis and all the prophets. Genesis down to? So when it says, upon this hangs the law and the prophets, is what? Referring to Genesis to Malachi. Everything written in the 39 books. Say, upon this is the reason for the 39 books. Hallelujah. So that means, what will you find in the 39 books? Listen, you'll find God's relationship, and you'll find down God's relationship, faith in God. God's relationship will now be your proton for our relationship with men. That is all that is written. Hallelujah. Hope you're following. That is all. God's relationship will be your proton for our doctrine. So our walk, listen, our Christian walk would reflect faith in God. Hallelujah. So is God loyal? Is God a loyal God? Is he a faithful God? That means in all our relationship, we must learn to be faithful. We must learn to be what? Loyal. Loyalty can be 99%. If it is 99%, it's not loyalty. Loyalty must be 100% for it to be called loyalty. Hope you are hearing me. You guys are astride now. See, every time somebody will be loyal. If you learn from God, God was loyal 110%. God was loyal. He told them he was going to lead them out of the land of Egypt to the promised land, right? To the land of Canaan. Did he do it? Did they get there? They did. At some point they said they are no longer, they cursed God. They cursed Moses. They said we are going back to Egypt. God was still faithful. That is God. Hallelujah. And he expects us too to be that way. Because we are his children. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Because we are his children, we ought to do or act the same way. Glory to God. Hope you're following me now. Amen, amen. So that means, I can go back to scripture. That means, listen, if this hangs upon these two hands, the law and the prophet, that means I can go back to scripture and see. Okay, let me put it this way. If this hangs the law and the prophet in Genesis to Malachi, so that means, how, when Moses writes Genesis to them, he writes Genesis for them to see the oracle of God, God's relationship with man, right? And I said the reason for Abraham, I didn't be called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because he's a relationship God. Right? He's a relational God. So that means when he's writing Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, writing about those people, he expects that when they read it, they will see faith in God. Right? Right? They will see faith in God so that they can walk in the same way. Right? Glory to God. So that means I can go back today and look at their lives and see and learn about loyalty and learn about relationship and see the ones that didn't walk in God's relationship or that didn't follow the proton in their relationship. Hallelujah. And see the ones that imbibed it in their relationship. Hope you are following me. Yes. Therefore, Paul will now write in Romans 16 verse 4. Come on. He said, whatsoever things were written afore were written for our learning. That we should what? Faith, that we through the patience and comfort of scripture will have. Hallelujah. Romans 16 verse 4. Come on, let's go there. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me now. Glory, glory, glory. He says, for whatever things are written and for waiting for our line that we through the patience and comfort of scripture might have. Hallelujah. So whatever things were written and for. So that means, listen, I can go back and look at their relationship lifestyle and say they are waiting for a learning. You see that? Do you know Paul did the same thing? Paul got to the church at Corinth. What did he tell them? He said, do not murmur like them in the wilderness. You see that? What was he writing for? Because that their murmuring was not showing forth the proton in the atmosphere. Say, don't bother, no more like them. That is their lifestyle. We can look back into the lifestyle of scripture, characters in the scriptures, and see this one did not reflect it. So therefore, it is for my learning. Hallelujah. Yes, hope you are following me. It's for my learning. Hallelujah. Yes, glory to God. So, let me say you are having my notes. That means I can learn from the characters in the scriptures and see what we should and shouldn't be in our relationships. Glory to God. So let's see what we shouldn't be in relationships about. Let's see what we shouldn't be in relationships. Hallelujah. The first relationship we'll see after Adam and Eve is who? Is who? Cain and Abel. Let's go to Cain and Abel. Let's learn from Cain and Abel. First of all, Cain and Abel are brothers. Hope you're following me. I'll throw it. Hallelujah. Cain and Abel are who? How? Brothers. The same family. Is it the same? Are they the same family? The same father? The same brother? So that means we want to learn from them how to treat family members. Hallelujah.
You know how to treat their family members? Because you are born in the same family, there's a relationship. Glory to God. There's a way to treat family members. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So we can know how to treat family. And you know, and you know. Come on, what happened? The guy is buying to go.
Okay, hallelujah. So we can look at how they treated, how family members treated themselves, and then learn from it. Hallelujah. You know, as believers, we are in the same family. Hope you are following me. We are brethren. Brethren means we are adopted from the same womb. Which womb? The womb of the resurrection. Hallelujah. We are from the resurrection. So therefore, there's a way we should treat ourselves. So we can learn from them in the scriptures to know how to treat ourselves. Hope you're following me. Let's look at this in scripture. Genesis chapter 4. Hallelujah. Genesis 4. Let's see. From verse 3. Now, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought up the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. Right? And Abel, he also brought up the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect for Abel, and to his offering. Now, remember when we said it was not like they started doing offering. No. Right? That this will be what? Come on, this will be figures. Figure of speech used by who? Moses. Right? Come on. To show what? Faith in the gods. Right? Hope you are following me. So when you hear firstling, your mind goes back to where? To put it like this. You say he offered the... I heard someone say he offered the sacrifice of Jesus ahead. So that is faith in the sacrifice, right? Come on. No, we're not looking at that today. Glory to God. Amen. So let's continue. So let's see, verse 5. But unto Cain and his offering he was not respected, and Cain was very wroth. This that, and his countenance did what? Fair. And we know the rest of the story. Cain slew his brother. Now when he says Cain was wroth, let's look at that one. Let's begin to investigate that word. Hallelujah. Let's investigate that word, wrath. Now that word wrath is the word that implies anger and jealousy. That means he was jealous. Jealous, and that arose anger. Amen? Glory to God. So, that was angry. I mean, he was angry. He was jealous. He was jealous. Remember, Abel became a priest. Abel was chosen, right? Now, for God's prophet. Anger, jealousy. Did that help that relationship? No. Right? Nothing kills a relationship. No matter the kind of relationship. Pastor, flock, pastor, businessman, business associate.
Any kind of relationship, you want to kill any relationship, start with jealousy, enter anger. Nothing kills relationship like anger and jealousy. It can destroy years of commitment. It can destroy years of sacrifice. Hallelujah. Nothing destroys one's effort and loyalty like anger. Anger. That is why Scripture will warn you. Scripture will make us see that anger is never of God. Anger, jealousy is not of God. In Galatians chapter 5, it's rather the walk in the flesh. Hallelujah. In Ephesians, Paul will say, Be ye not angry. Don't be angry. Don't allow anger to stay. Anger is a killer. Okay, follow me. Nothing destroys friendship. Nothing destroys friendship that like jealousy and anger. Jealousy. It starts from jealousy. Hallelujah. Jealousy. Your friend bought a car. He are still driving keke. They are jealous. He's in blood money. Is he not your friend? Is he not your friend? Can't you just even learn to celebrate people? Never allow anger to stay. Hope you are hearing me. Amen. Never. Your friend is driving deep. Never see. Never allow. First of all, you have to, I want to teach you this. Deal with yourself. I learned that a whole lot. Learn to deal with yourself. I'm never materialistic. Not saying anybody gets material in me. You see, you say that to yourself, where? Hope you're hearing this. Say to yourself, where? Your friend bought a car. You are now looking for how to gather money to buy another your own car that will be higher than his own. You are doing competition in this small life. You're going to see. Jealousy kills relationships. Hallelujah. You can't be jealous and say you are loyal. It's not possible. They don't flow. Hallelujah. It is also goes to how you treat your family members at home. We don't know how to treat your family members at home. They say, no, now my new brothers are the brothers in Christ in church. They are your brothers in church. Yeah, your brothers in church are your brothers in Christ. But learn to have a good relationship with your brethren at home. Hallelujah. Hope you are hearing me. Learn that. Where to go? You have got your brother has traveled out. You are in Nigeria. You are beefing. They send me money. You know some people are like that. They send me money the first and second time. The third time they repeat to say, this is wicked person. Only God knows how you get here. Jealousy, anger, work on yourself. Hallelujah. Be able to go. Look at Genesis. Just the same Genesis. Chapter 13. Verse 7. Lot and Abraham. See, Abraham was the one that carried. Who did God call? Abraham. Abraham carried Lot. See, history added that Abraham made Lot wealthy. Lot became wealthy because of Abraham. See, Abraham is a businessman. If you put it well, Abraham is an able man. Hallelujah. And his club is Chelsea. You know the club, Jesus supported Chelsea. You don't understand. If Jesus was to be alive today, he would support Chelsea. It's not a joke. He's a businessman. Look at the kind of person that bought Chelsea. Someone is not somewhere I'll buy Arsenal. Arsenal? Hallelujah. It was this man, Queen, telling me, Papa Chaika. Hallelujah. So let's do that. That is just along the way. I hope we win everything. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah. Somebody called Chelsea to charity FC. I don't know why I did that, but let's continue.
So Abraham is a businessman. So he made Lot wealthy. So Lot now became wealthy. Lot now has workers. You know, Lot is now paying salary like Abraham. So one day, Genesis 13 verse 7, Lot's workers began to fight with Abraham's workers. Ah! See your son? No, our God is passing your God. You know this nonsense talk. My pastor is more worthy than your pastor. Whoa, whoo, 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 whoo. Stop nonsense again. Hallelujah. And, our church is no, don't stop that. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, in verse 8, Abraham showed up. He says, don't let us try. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Genesis 13:8. It says, Abraham said unto the Lord, say, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee. Did you see that? And between my headmen and your headmen. Did you see that? Do you see headmen there? Amen. Amen. What did I tell you about headmen yesterday? I said something about you yesterday. What did I tell you about you? This is why you need to be reminded every day. Now you need to be taught the same thing every day. Amen. So, between my headman and your headman, you don't start yesterday. Glory, glory, glory. For we be. So, who were fighting? Who were fighting? Yes. So you understand. So, it is your nature to fight. Hallelujah. So, between my headman and your headman, for we be what? So that means, if we are brethren, I must not allow strife coming. Hope you are following me. Remember, let's keep the bond of peace that is within us as brethren. Hope you are following me. Don't allow strife there. Don't! Let me tell you something. I have a friend. This should be going to 17 years. He's my friend. And I can't recall a day we quarreled. I can't recall. We have never said to ourselves, get out of here, dog. If I get lost. 17 years plus. Hallelujah. By 2025, it will be 20 years. Hallelujah. Let's not allow strife. Have there not been things that would have allowed us to have strife? They were, but I didn't allow it. He didn't allow it. Hallelujah. We be brethren. Not even money. We be brethren. Don't allow money come. They say, ah. You know, as small as 1,000. They say, where's my 1,000? Then I don't. Ah. What's the one of you? For the sake of a brother, you can follow that. Hallelujah. For we be brethren. Never allow material things. See, let me tell you something. In this life, we will make money, we will lose money. Hallelujah. You can lose money in any way. But don't allow money that makes you. Jonathan, don't allow money that makes you have strife with a brother. Go! Go! Hallelujah. Hold on. Amen. If we are to allow strife, enter. You tell me, we would have been in that room by today. Are this? Madam Coin, Madam Pink, I'll be sorry. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Glory to God! But we be brethren. Glory to God! When there is a picker to buy tomatoes, I say, what nonsense is this? Hallelujah! We be brethren. Never allow material things. But that means, see, that word brethren means we are from the same source. That means nothing is stronger than that. Not even money. Hope you're hearing me. Because we are brothers. We are from the same source. We are in Christ. Hallelujah. How much more when your brother at home is not a Christian like you? They are not fighting. They are not wise. Hallelujah. They are not wise. Never allow it. Hallelujah. Therefore, we'll be brethren. That word is strong. That word will be brethren is the basis upon which Paul wrote 1 Corinthians. For we be brethren. Hallelujah. For we be brethren. That is the word for brethren.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. It was based on, that basis that Paul will say, if you think me to make my brother sin, I rather not even say yes. Did you see that? For we be brethren. What will make me make another? What will make me, what I will do that will make another brother begin to envy? I rather not do it for the sake of that brother. It's not because me doing it is going to make me become a sinner, but I will compromise to keep that brother. How do you follow me? For we be brethren. It's as strong as that. So, me being loyal to my friend means I'm going to hold that person dead. Hold on, last five seconds. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I will not. Hold on, that last. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So, as believers, as brethren, what was never allowed in our relationship is anger. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have something here. See, when your friend, your brother, your sister begins to achieve progress, never allow strife setting in. When strife is setting in, you see somebody, he's not having four cars. You say, God, oh, hey, you don't get it. And you're not feeling somehow. Satan has got something on you. Hallelujah. When a brother's progress makes you jealous, or a brother's downfall makes you happy, Satan has got something on you. Satan has got something on you. Don't. Hear it again. When a brother's progress, you know what I mean, brothers? I mean brothers and sisters and brothers, right? So don't think, Pastor, you're being patriarchal. All the while, you're not calling brothers. There's no sister in your world. All this together. Hallelujah. Amen. Actually, he calls us kings. Kings, he didn't call queens, he said kings and princes. How priests rather. He didn't say queens and priestesses. Hope you're understanding me. But in the kings you have queens. In the kings is for both male and female, right? And the priest is for both male and amen. Hope you're following me.
First
one says, sir, you are being patriarchal. No, I'm not being. We're just using Bible terms. Please close that thing now. Hallelujah. Let me know what we are recording. Glory to God.
Amen.
But that's not good. Glory to God. So when your brother, I say it again, when a brother, whether at home, in church, is progressing and you are jealous, Satan has got a big thing on you. When your brother falls or a believer falls and you are happy, Satan has got something on you. Hallelujah. Hope you are hearing me. You are the first to post it. Pastor Adelano. Satan has something on your head. Hallelujah.
Glory, glory, glory.
Okay. Let's move ahead. Try. We'll make it disclosure. Strife will make you disloyal. See, strife will make you take sides with an enemy. Anger, jealousy, strife will make you take sides with an enemy over a friend, over a brother. Strife can make you do that. Hallelujah. Strife. Malice. There they go. Remember then in school, people used to keep, they have malice, people I don't talk to. Keeping malice is good. Guys are gone. Hallelujah. Strife will make you keep take sides with an enemy. Look at an example in scripture. Is who? Judas. Look at Judas. Brother Judas. Look at Matthew 26. Let's go through that. Matthew 26, are you there? Look at verse 6. It says that when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simeon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box,
of very precious ointment and poured it on his head, and he sat at meat. But when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, all of them got angry. Oh, but not all of them allowed the anger. Hallelujah. Say, so what purpose is this waste? But the ointment might have been sold. This is, you know who is talking like this? This is Judas' voice. I hope you know that. The ointment must have been sold for much and given to the poor. It is just, that is the talk of anger. We just want to prove a point. Say, why? Why would they buy a private jet for their pastor? Is he your pastor? Buy for your pastor first. You know that's the biggest problem. See, they bought private jet. Why would they just be wasting? Why would you buy a private jet for their pastor? It's because you don't honor your own pastor. Somebody that honors his pastor bought private jet. You don't want his pastor to be entering commercial flights, right? Right? Hey, you that love your pastor, buy one. What are they giving your pastor? Go and watch those. They've not even given their pastor everyone there. I said, no, that is not Christianity now. Did Jesus go to Jerusalem on his own, with his own donkey? You know somebody that gave it to him? That is Christ. Amen. He said, that money they used, they want to be logical. He said, there are people suffering. We have IDP camps in Nigeria. You know, we have over 3 million displaced persons in Nigeria. That money you use to buy private jet, 2 billion. Why not use it to give to the IDP? Give it to charity. You know, to the logical man, it makes sense. Hope you know that logically, it makes sense. But you know, that was what this guy just did. He said, this ointment, you just wasted like this. Won't you have just carried the money and give it to the poor? Makes sense. But no. That activity of that woman is a sign of honor. Hallelujah. Plenty of honor. You see, let me tell you something there. Okay, not today. That will be next time, next week, when I'm back. Hallelujah. That was honor. People don't know how to honor their pastor. People don't. And it's because they are not honored. People will be taught how to honor them. Honor your pastor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. You don't have honor. You will place the power with their pastor and flood their pastor five sheep. How can that be honor? If I honor you, if you don't honor you, God. Let's see the honor in your action. All this will enter the recording. If you enter, praise be to God. Amen. Okay, where were we? One brother Judas, right? Okay, now, what he said to the natural man? Okay, let me put that to the internet blogger, to the blogger, to the social media, to the, who again? Instagrammers, to the Snapchatters, to the Facebookites, to the WhatsAppites, to the Insta bloggers, to the Linda KGIs. Ah! What he said makes sense, though. But people suffering, right? Be a good philanthropist, it makes sense. But look at Jesus' response. Hallelujah. And Jesus answered. But when Jesus understood it, he said to them, why trouble the woman? Hallelujah. For she had wrought a good work upon me. He said, for ye have the poor always with you, but me don't have only. Hallelujah. For in that she had poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Did that very I say upon wherever this gospel shall be preached, like we're saying it today, in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman has done be told for a memorial. Who? Mm-hmm. Is that not what we are doing now? Is that what we are doing now? Oh no. Glory to God. Okay, what happened then? Then one of the 12, you called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest. Let's see how another account put this going to the chief priest. There you see. Is it not just that I say, okay, the next day, just tell us, let's go and listen to know. If I do something happened immediately. Look at this account. Hallelujah. Luke 22. Let's see how Luke will put it though. Luke 22, are you there? Amen, amen.
Not MMO, amen. Amen. Luke 22. That's how we used to sing it that day. That year. Amen. Amen. Blessings are for me. Heaven and Bashi. I'm saying it again because she was very small. That's how we used to sing. I did some funny thing when I was growing up. She was small and she used to walk with pants. So we just think for them. Amen, amen. No. Amen, amen. Benny, I'm back. There you go. We're just looking for trouble. Are we thinking it? Just opposite your house, that your mother will hear. And your elder sister to come and fight us. Well, we know she cannot run, so we'll take her, we'll give her. But thank God. I never knew I was going to be a pastor then, you know.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Luke 22, verses 1.
Verses what?
Thank you. Verse 3. Okay, verse 3. Look at what happened. And who entered Judas? And Satan entered Judas Iscariot, being of the number of the 12, and went his way and communed with the chief priest. Did you see that? So that means when, you know that anger, right? When Jesus now rebuked them, you know what Jesus did was a rebuke. Say the poor you have with you. Why don't you go and give it to the poor? So you, where I'm going, you guys should also give to the poor, right? Give to poor, no problem. So he got angry. Luke said Satan got into him. So that means anger is of the devil. Are you hearing? I've seen, let me tell you something. I've seen, and most times it's because people are not poor. Hallelujah. Have you seen people get angry before? People that can be who you tag or less. When you get into their anger, I mean getting angry, what they do, you yourself will be surprised. Have seen somebody angry, being angry before, carry the standard television, something that you can't to carry on a normal day. You know television that have lunchback. To carry on a normal day, you will not be able to carry. I bet you. But it was angry that they carry that television. Anger. You know that, you see, if you sit back and watch how people respond when they are angry, the activity that they do, you know that it's the devil. It's the devil. The Satan has got something on you. Are you angry before? Somebody will be angry, you'll be vibrating. I see somebody vibrate before, you don't be angry. Then you just say, by the way, I want to fall or catch it. People can be angry like that. Unnecessary strength to just enter them. Anger is demonic. Anger is demonic. It's never of God. How do you angry like that? How? No! Glory to God! No! Glory to God! Amen. Amen. In fact, let me tell you what he did. That anger did not just stop there. He now took them. Jesus used to have a secret chamber where nobody knows. See, in the evening time, there is a place where Jesus go to. It's only Jesus and his disciples that know. Nobody knows. But you know what Judas did? Judas took them to where Jesus will be. You know something, you will know where your pastor will be. At this point, you know pastor will be in this form. You just know. At around 6 to 7. Or you just know by this time, you have to meet pastor at 3-4 backyard. You just know the time. Right? You know, there are some times you just know. That there is a gathering somewhere. You just know by this time, somewhere, there will be a gathering in 3-4. I want to answer. Right? You just know. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus had such a panic when he met his disciples secretly. Nobody knew. But you know what anger did?
anger made Judas reveal Jesus' secret. Anger. You know, it sounds like a name in Oshun. Anger. Go. That's Oshun. Sounds like a name somewhere, chat. Yeah. Somewhere next to you. Anger. Gaga. Ah. No. Hallelujah. Let me show you that. John chapter 8. John 18. Jesus had spoken this word. He went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, and where was a garden into which he entered and his disciples. You see that? So who came here with the people? Because you know, they've been looking for a way to catch Jesus, but they couldn't. Right? But Judas just said, see, I know his secret. How can you just mess my crew up like that? Club, come on, club. Mind you that they don't even pay you. You are a man of God. Because you used to carry mic. Let's go and see. I know his secret. Anger. That's what it is. Carry them to where Jesus will be. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, look at that Matthew 26, verse 15. When Judas came in, Matthew 26, verse 15. Look at what Jesus called him. Matthew 26. He said, whenever I read to this point, tears drop down my eyes. You know, Jesus, at what happened. Listen. It's just like this. Are you verse 15? Let's say Jesus was in the disciples. Then Judas came. Judas entered. Innocently, look at what Jesus told us. Look at that face. He just entered. Now the people had not come with him. You know, it was a secret chamber. Hallelujah. So Judas entered. Look at what he told Judas in verse 50. He says, and Jesus said unto him, friend. Did you see that? What did Jesus call him? Friend. Wherefore art thou come? He said, friend, where are you coming from? Innocently. Friend, where are you coming from? And what happened immediately? And they came and they had Ah! Your friend. Oh. Hallelujah. He called him friend. Where did that come from? And then came they and laid hands on him and innocently asked a friend. So Jesus called him friend. And his friend was not loyal to him. You know, Jesus must have at this point forgotten what he said to them concerning, because he felt they had addressed it, right? Because somebody was angry. Somebody was saying mad. Satan has got a hold of him. That was why when he offered Jesus and Jesus was crucified, he went to kill himself. You know why? You know what time? When people are done acting in anger, when they are uncovered, when they look back, they will be, at that point, you know, they will now be feeling guilty. I hope you, most people that have been angry, that get angry, you see that, after you have vibrated, and you go, what is it? What is it? After a while, when you see that, when Satan has taken his hands off you, you now think about it. Say, child, let me fuck up like this. Let me fight for mood for tap like this. You know, you will be shame. That's what happened to him. His eyes were open. It was anger. Friend. May I never be that kind of friend. That would betray my friends for money. That will leak a secret of my friend. See, let me tell you something. I say it and I'll just say it again. See, if you are my friend, and you've told me your secret, even if we're no longer friends again, let's say I blocked you. See, I bet you, your secret is still a secret to believe this. People that are friends, that are no longer my friends, that thing that they told me when we were friends, and I can't even say it out to another friend.
Just some people will say, let me tell you something. But don't tell another person. No, you're my friend, as I'm telling you. I'm telling somebody else, another person's secret. Say, God, we are friends. But this is my friend, so let me just say, God, we are friends. No. Hallelujah. I don't care whether people go out to talk about me. But because I've called you a friend, it's just part of my point. I cannot. I will not do it. So you're hearing me. I'm going to do it. I said that's a whole lot to my friends. I will tell them. See, even if you are no longer friends, the thing I told you, I didn't see this mouth. It will never come out of me. Just go and sleep. If you hear it another place, maybe tell somebody else. Not come. Hallelujah. What's the kind of friend it is? Hallelujah. May I never be that friend. I will take people to my friends to betray my friends. Brutus. There are people like that are friends. They will betray their friends. They will stab their friends. Stab their family members. For what? Shekel. How much? How much laughter? Money will go finish. Nonsense. I'm a loyal friend all the day. I'm a loyal friend all the day. There's something you are going to see at the end of this teaching. That how to even handle friends that betray you. How do you handle friends that betray you? Those people say, I'm going to talk my own back. No. You will see it from Jesus. Friends that betray you. Look at Peter. Look at Peter next time. Hallelujah. Peter. Jim Peter. Peter to this. Hallelujah. How come a loyal friend doesn't sell his friend? A loyal friend will protect his friend's image. Even when his friend is not there. So let me tell you something. Let me read something to you. That it was not only Judas. That they've approached other of his disciples to betray him. But Judas was the one that gave him. What kind of friend are you? Is it a friend that will tell your friend? So maybe because you fell out with your friend, they go on Facebook. Put it. No. Or your boss did something to you that is annoying. Now go online. Now land it there. What a day. Or you just put Black Tuesday. Black Tuesday. Hallelujah. Don't be that kind of person. Hallelujah. You know, we are just talking about these things on the topic. We've not started hitting it, right? So we can also put the part of our creation. We'll deal with relationships. Hallelujah. We'll deal with relationships. How to be the best in your relationship. Hallelujah. We'll deal with relationships. Hallelujah. So even when your friend is not there, you must always learn to protect the image of your friend. Don't be like Ahithophel. Ahithophel is that friend. Who couldn't protect his friend when his friend was not there? Ahithophel. Hallelujah. Ahithophel. 2 Samuel 15. Let me take you through the story before Ahithophel. Okay. Absalom is David's son. Right? David has Absalom, had Ammon, had Tamar. Tamar is Absalom's sister, right? Then Ammon did what is despicable with Tamar, right? And Absalom killed Ammon, his brother. What a family. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about it. That is a minister's family. A pastor's family. Yeah? And it's in trend. You know what I mean? Yeah. Is a man this family. How can he handle the church? You're mad for saying that nonsense. Hallelujah. Nobody prays for his family to be like this. But this is a pastor's family.
Hope you're hearing me. The pastor wants his family to be like me. But he's a pastor's family. Glory to God. But look at Absalom. Killed his brother Amon and Jaffa because he feared his father was going to kill him. After a while, he came back to Jerusalem. The father received him. That is who a father is. Remember, we saw God as a father. What does he do? He forgives. Right? So David reflected God in his relationship with his son. Right? He forgave his son. He forgave his son. That is relationship. Don't say I'm angry with my son. Or I'm telling you, because there's no school where you learn how to be a best parent. You know there's no school for that. Most times what people turn out to be as parents is what they've seen in the society. That's why a man will give his child of age 3, 4 fat and good at the drink. That's what he has seen in society. I know the child growing up on the base day. At age 4, the boy was drinking fat. Better than me. Did I say better than me? Better than me, I would drink more tea now. Yeah? We drink that. I've never tasted it in my life. The one I tried before. The one I tried one time years back was this stuff. You know, when visitors have left the house, I just go and throw away, to go and pour the bottle, growing up. Oh my God. And then I go and throw it out of fire. It's small. Oh! Since then, no. Hallelujah. But it's great before he handles the bottle. I don't want to mention his name. Because most of you know him. Hallelujah. Come on! Handle the bottle. On social media, I saw a boy carrying a star. I said, come on! Wonderful. And the mother was videoing him. What? You see, what I tell you is what, because there's no school for parenting. He finds what he has seen around. Everything is trendy. I want my child to play. Whole bottle. Nonsense. Hallelujah. Woe are thou parents. Who learned parenting from social media? For you will raise up rebels, not children. That's injustice. You don't learn from social media. Some people, what they learn, what they grow up to understand as parenting is as a man, how to be a shouter. And how they grow up to know as parenting, as father. So people grow up knowing motherhood, knowing to be a mother as a woman that takes every nonsense. That's how they grow up, that's how they saw as parenting. Because that is the only place you can learn parenting from in the world. That's what you are offered, your family. But you know, being a Christian, what we will look at to learn parenting from, what we look at to become the best in our relationship is from the scriptures. We look at it from the proton. Hallelujah. Look at David. I've seen someone before who disowned the child. Why? The child married another religion. Is that a joke? He carried along that 3 others to hell with you. What a joke. I see someone that said, lie to lie, look at my son again. We don't learn that from Christ. David's son killed his son. Yet David reconciled with him. Not just that. When he now reconciled with his son, Absalom came back. You know what Absalom came back to do? When he came back, he now began to conspire to overthrow his father. What a son. Hallelujah. You know, you can learn how to be a good son from scripture too. Come on. Hallelujah. Relationship. Hallelujah. He conspired to kill his father. He wanted to dethrone rather. He wanted to dethrone his father. Who did he go to meet? 2 Samuel 15 verse 12. He went to meet a man who would be called David's right-hand man. A man who would be called David's counselor. One who David seeks counsel for. 2 Samuel 15, 12. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor from the city, even from Gilo, which he offered sacrifices And the conspiracy was what? The conspiracy was what? In fact, when David saw that the conspiracy was strong, that way David ran for his life. You imagine your father running from the sun. David ran for his life. Then he was now told David in the next chapter that what? That Absalom had, that rather, look at chapter 25, verse 24. What do you have to open, please? No, I missed that up. That is the same chapter 15, verse 31, sorry. Are you there? He said, and David, and one told David, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, oh Lord, I pray thee, that turn the counsel of Ahithophel to what? To foolishness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory, glory, glory. And sometimes I need to show you. Now look at verse 23, so you know what the kind of counsel Ahithophel gives of chapter 20, verses 23 of chapter 16. Say, and the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired of the oracle of God. You see? And so it was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. So it was, you see, what kind of counsel? He was David's right-hand man when it comes to counsel. You get? But he was quick to change sides. He was quick to conspire against his friend. Conspire against the person he counseled. Can you see that? Quick to change that. May I never be that friend that will quit. That will be quick. To join a conspirator against my friend. How can I conspire against my friend? Hallelujah. No, don't be that kind of friend. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what I have in my notes? May I never be that kind of friend. Brother, father, son, business associate pastor, fellow pastor, that conspires against my friend. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May I ever be that kind of pastor, associate pastor, friend, father, brother, that stand with a conspirator against my friend. How would I do that? Against a fellow brother in church. No. Hallelujah. No. Hallelujah. You see, let me draw our attention back to something. Do you remember growing up, when you go out, you maybe you're the one that went to look for trouble and beat somebody else's child, and somebody is coming home to come and fight you, and your mother quickly shields you, right? You know that your grandmother will protect you, right? They cannot turn at you and spank his life out of you, right? But in front of an outsider, what does he do? What does she do? Protect you. That is what, learn that kind of attitude. Learn to protect brethren. Can somebody be talking about, you are just one of those, maybe somebody in the basement, have you heard of that girl when he called Naomi? What happened? Naomi. Let's a bit of talk. He said, so you said no. Brother in church. He said, so you said no, let's a bit of talk. Have you heard of Apostle Tim Baptist? He said, who is that? He said, you know Apostle Tim Baptist? That pastor. You know, that used to use negative men. He said, you said no. So you said no. You are not standing against a brother. Or maybe somebody is telling you about something wrong that a brother has done. And the first thing you do is to Well, they go send a church, there you go. No. Defend that brother first. You cannot come to the brother and deal with the issue. Hallelujah. How are you hearing me? He's only bring up a lie and accusation against a brother in front of you, keep quiet. Or you're in a place, they begin to talk about your pastor and you not put your mouth. How will you put your mouth? Maybe you're talking and say, bankers are thieves. Bankers are thieves. Bankers are thieves.
And he now come and say, ah, your pastor too is a banker. And they are so, are you sure? So does this mean my pastor too used to... No. Hallelujah. Don't do that. Hallelujah. Don't do that. Lawyers are liars. Lawyers are liars. And your pastor is a lawyer. He says, Maybe we know shall talk. But more we know shall talk. Well, we're watching our pastor. More we know shall talk. You are mad. That is a very stupid attitude. Walk out. Never been in a place where even a pastor, a believer is being spoken down on, and you add your mouth. How? 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 Someone met me one time and said, sir, this pastor did this thing is on social media. What will you say? Nonsense. Like, you're not carrying me and John. No. Hallelujah. I've been in the place before. I don't know this pastor from anywhere. But the pastor was giving an instruction to her congregation. So they played it. Do you understand me? Played it concerning against marriage after her. And they said, what would you say? Is this pastor right or wrong? I said, are you in the congregation? Or are you my congregation? She's talking to her congregation. What's your own? The best car because it's on in the KJ and so guess you what? Do not mind your business. And move ahead. Okay, you know. Never be that brother. Never be that Christian that will join a conspirator against another brother or another sister. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to your friends. Hallelujah to your job. God! Don't worry, we'll get to job. Hallelujah. 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 How can you be working in company A? You are posting activities in company B that is a competitor to company A where you are working. I will sack you. I hope you are hearing me. I will sack you. If I have a which if I have a company, in fact, in my company. But
I'm already seen a company. Hallelujah.
Going into full-time business. Hallelujah. So if I have a company and I employ you, for example, and Pastor Gariba, Pastor in the same church, oh, in the same church. Not another company. Maybe my own is Holly. His own too is Holly. But mine is F and Co. His own is G and Co. Ghetto. And I'm paying you my hard earned sweat. Say, Ayadi, you now post that company. A pastor in the same church, you now post his company and say, check out wonderful, what is it called? Wonderful get together of G company. And co blended. Me and the company A or company S, I will sack you. Let company G employee. An irresponsible employee. You don't know? Responsible. This is business. We can come to church and pray together. We won't get to the business world. We are businessmen, right? Yeah. Very simple. I see no people do that. I say you are not loyal to where you are working. You are not loyal. How can you be working with Globe and you are using MTN line? I will sack you. Eh. You are working with Globe and you are using MTN line. I will sack you. The day I find out, I'm sacking. What are you doing with it? Amen? I heard people in Globe don't browse with Globe. I don't know who said that. You know? But I will sack you and make sure you get it. What nonsense is that? Amen. You can be working in MTN and you are wearing Glow a t-shirt. Even if it's not work day, I see you outside. And let I'm driving and I see you with Glow and you are working in MTN and I'm in MTN. That day, just go and start working in that Glow. Yes, now. In fact, I should not even see you with, if I'm working in Glow, I should not see you with Airtel Kyoda. Why are you doing this? I'm working in UBA. I'm carrying Union Bank Kyoda. Hey, you're not loyal. It's as simple as that. You don't know. It's as simple as that. So your employment. I say that a whole lot. So your employment. Amen. You're working in company A. You're using the data in company A to submit CV for company B. You're not loyal. It's not a joke. It is not a joke. You're not loyal. This is a simple truth of loyalty. Very simple truth. Somebody is looking at me. That is just the truth. How can you be? Because now I used to do that one. How can you be Chelsea? And you are playing with my new team. Hallelujah. You go to the fire for that thing. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. Just be loyal. Hallelujah. Tell me loyal friend. I'm a loyal friend.
I'm a loyal friend.
I'm a loyal employee. I'm a loyal brother, a loyal son, a loyal brethren. Hallelujah. How can you be in? Let me not say that one. That one for you. Let me not say the truth. It's just very simple. Hallelujah. So people are not even loyal to their local church. Local church. They are not loyal to their local church. We'll deal with that next time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Huh? Just thank him. Where you are, just thank him. Just thank him where you are. Just worship him now. Thank him. Thank him.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.